The gospel for this third Sunday of Lent is from John chapter 2, verses 13 through 25.
The Passover celebration that took place, this is a celebration that took place every year in the temple. All the Jewish males were expected to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was both the political and the religious center in the seat of Palestine. And it's really important that we say this because this is the place also where the Messiah was expected to arrive when he came back. And as we said in the last reading, we knew that the Jews thought that there was a tremendous blockage because it was not a divine warrior, it was not a king. And the Greeks thought it was just foolishness because he was not going to rise again.
The temple was a very important place for Jesus. It tells us in the Catechism in section 584, Jesus went up to the temple as the privileged place of encounter with God. For him, the temple was the dwelling of his Father, a house of prayer, and he was angered that its outer court had become a place of commerce. He drove merchants out of it because of jealous love for his Father. And he said, "You shall not make my Father's house a house of trade." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." And after his resurrection, his apostles retained their reverence for the temple. So he really showed them that reverence because that to him was where he had an encounter with the time with his Father, with God. And for us today, church, where we go and we pray, the Mass itself, that's where we encounter God. And we should be upset when things are going on. I think that's a lot of time we hear people talking and chit-chatting in Mass about things that have nothing to do with encountering God, and it upsets me quite a bit. And so we can really understand why Jesus got so upset over this.
That's a good point, Marie, because Jesus was upset because he was accusing the place of being a marketplace rather than a place of worship. And yet he knew that the temple was a place where they paid the local currency. He knew they paid the tax there. He knew they needed to have animals for sin offerings. Therefore, they had to be paid in the current currency. So he knew they needed all that, and they needed the money changers. What he was really incensed was that they were doing this right inside the inner court. And I think this is what you really brought out here in yourself. He was angry at the dishonesty and the greed of these men. They were charging such high prices. There were more money to pay for the animals at the temple than it was outside in the markets. So he just felt all of this together was total mockery of the sacredness of the temple itself.
That's right. And the effect that when you're hurting others and the people selling this were cheating them many times, they paid a lot more money there at the temple than they would elsewhere for the sacrifice offering. And so this is why the Lord gets so upset, because they taking advantage of other people. He's called us to love one another as he's loved us. And then the Jews said, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" They asked him. And so Jesus answered, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." And then the Jews, you know, they came back, well, listen, this temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you'll raise it up in just 3 days? So they were really, you know, what is this guy talking about? They were really incensed by that. But as it says, he was speaking about the temple of his body.
That's right. You have to remember now that what he's being said, and none of this really sunk home until actually even after the crucifixion. And then as they're up in that up room waiting, all this reflection, they remembered all these different scriptures, and when Jesus appeared to them, then all of these things really hit home. But right now, they're just sort of in shock because what he had just did. But remember now, Jesus exerted what we call righteous indignation. It wasn't an uncontrolled rage. And he had anger over injustice and sin. And so that's what happened. He wasn't just angry over some trivial situation. He wasn't angry over a fault. He was angry over sin. And so he proved his authority to these merchants by driving them out. And he proved to them that he had the authority, justice to heal and to cast out demons. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to make example of our bodies, our Holy Spirit that's within our body. And that's why today church has to be a place where a living holy sacrifice is being presented. And that's what we're called to do today. And that's what he's really saying in this message. My Father's house is a house of prayer. It's not and never was and never will be intended to be a marketplace.
And temple of his body. So the resurrection, there's the only sign. Back to that again. The sign, the only sign we need is the sign of Jonah and in the belly of the whale, and Jesus' death and resurrection prefigured that. And so the temple of his body, so our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. We are tabernacles of God. We hold him within us. And how do we hold God within us? Through his Spirit. When he was raised up and ascended into heaven, he said, I'm not going to leave you orphaned. I will leave you my Spirit. And so we are dwelling places of the Holy Spirit. He's alive today and walking within each person who has accepted and submitted their life to Christ. They have had a new birth in our temples of the Holy Spirit. Now, the word that Jesus had spoken, they came to believe the scriptures through this and remembered all this, and they became to believe in the scriptures and the word that Jesus had spoken to them. So this is powerful. And while he was in Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover, many began to believe in his name when they saw the signs he was doing. So back to that second reading, it's through the signs that God did that people came to believe. God does heal, and God does bring us to faith, and God does love us and give us that.
And that's what we can really hear and see in this passage. Jesus did not trust in himself to them. He did not trust himself to human wisdom. He trusted himself to the Father. And he calls and tells us to that. You know my Father, you know me, you know my Father. He's calling us to have that same obedience to him that he had to his Father. And that's what I think is we're really hearing coming back with this in the passage here today. And this temple, this Jesus that really talks about, the temple is the Holy Spirit, and that's the temple in our body, and that's what makes our temple a place of sacredness. It says in the last reading, Corinthians, know ye not, you are a temple of the Holy Spirit, that your body has been bought with a ransom. The ransom is paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the temple of the Holy Spirit is where the temple resides. The Holy Spirit resides in that temple. So therefore, if I'm talking actions, and if I'm doing actions that are disgraceful or sinful, and I'm expecting the Lord God to live in my temple, it's a tremendous contradiction. And if my mouth is spewing lies and insults and terrible remarks, it's a terrible contradiction in expecting the Holy Spirit to live in my temple.
That's right. And that 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 tells us that. It reminds us that we are temples of the Holy Spirit. And what are we to do with our body? We are to glorify God in our body. So because we are temples of the Holy Spirit. And so how do we do that? By obeying the Ten Commandments, by obeying God and living for God. So to sum up, this Sunday's reading, this third Sunday, the first reading is a call to practical holiness. The second reading reveals the Messiah is a suffering servant. And the gospel tells us that our church is meant to be a place of worship. This week, see what needs to be done by your family to make your church a place of worship. See what needs to be done by you to make your family see you as one who is becoming holy. Then go in the name of Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, in accordance with his Father's will, do it.